This week's parsha is Parshas Ha'azinu, and the pasuk starts Ha'azinu Hashomayim Va'adabero. Give ear, Hashomayim, the heavens, Va'adabero, and now we'll speak. Ve'sishma Ha'oretz, and let the earth hear Imrefi, the words of my mouth. The first Rashi of the parsha says the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu invoked the heaven and earth is because they are going to serve as a warning for the Jewish people. According to Rashi, this is a continuation of what is mentioned before in chapter 30, pasuk number 19. There it says, "Haidoisi bochem ayoim, I call into witness today Hashomayim Mesoretz, heaven and earth." And Rashi explains there the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu called heaven and earth to bear witness on the Jewish people to see if they are keeping the Torah. Why specifically heaven and earth? Rashi here and their answers that if I call human beings as witnesses, today we are here, tomorrow we are gone. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to call heaven and earth Shehem Kayomim Le'olam, that they stand forever. Since they stand forever, therefore they will be able to be witnesses that the Jewish people did not sin. And we will soon see that there is actually a question on this statement that they stay forever. And the second interpretation Rashi brings down there, why specifically did Moshe Rabbeinu choose heaven and earth, is that Hashem told heaven and earth to bear witness because the same way that heaven never changed, once it goes in and it follows the routine over and over again and never changes his routine from the way that Hashem told them, so too the Jewish people should take witness, not be witness, take witness from heaven and earth and follow what they will do and follow the same way Hashem's commandment, the same way that they do. And the earth, because did somebody ever plant something and did not grow? Or did somebody ever plant wheat and barley came out? This never happened, because obviously they followed the word of Hashem. So Rashi continues, so too we should learn a kal vechomer, which means a clear deduction from heaven and earth. According to Rashi, when we say Haidoisi bochem es ha-shomayim ve-es ha-oretz, I'm bringing to witness to you heaven and earth, means that you should take witness from heaven and earth and make a kal vechomer. And the kal vechomer is like that. Heaven and earth, they follow Hashem's will, even though they don't have anything to gain and they don't lose anything. And if they follow Hashem's will, they don't get extra reward. If they don't follow, they don't get punished. So much more us human beings, that if we follow Hashem's word, we get rewarded. And if we don't follow Hashem's word, we get punished. So much more are we required to follow Hashem's word if you want to get rewarded. Rashi's interpretation only works if in fact heaven and earth never deviated from what Hashem told them to do. If they have never sinned, then we could take an example from heaven and earth. But if they would have sinned, then technically we could not bring an example from heaven and earth, and we can't use the interpretation Haidoisi bochem ayoim, that I bring heaven and earth into witness to you, that you should learn from heaven and earth, if that wouldn't be true. We'll soon ask a couple other questions, but let's wait till we bring the other interpretation of Rashi, and then we will see what evolves. The other interpretation Rashi brings down, which is actually the Rashi on this Parsha, Rashi says that heaven and earth will be a witness. If you do not perform, then the heaven will be otzer zashomayim, the heaven will stop giving the rain, va'aretz lo yisiten es yevula, and the earth will not give its fruit. So the reason he invoked heaven and earth basically is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I want the punishment for not keeping mitzvahs be by heaven and earth. That if you don't keep mitzvahs, then heaven doesn't give the rain, and the earth doesn't give forth its fruit. That's why he invoked Hashomayim Ve'orez. That's why he invoked specifically heaven and earth. Not that heaven and earth are going to testify against you, but what happens because of heaven and earth, if the heaven makes rain come and the earth gives its fruit, that proves that you are keeping the Torah. The way they behave, that proves how you are behaving towards Hashem. So we'll start with the first question on the first interpretation of Rashi, that heaven and earth are meant to be witnesses because they kayomim le'olam, they stand forever. Sefer Tosfos Brocha asks a contradiction between Rashi here, that Rashi explains that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu chose heaven and earth is because they are kayomim lo'ad, that they stand forever. There is a clear contradiction from the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis Amed Aleph, which Rashi actually alludes to it in the Chumash. During the story of the Egel, the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu stands and tries to pray, intercede for the Jewish people. There he says a statement which is in Shemos chapter 32, Pasuk number 13, says, Zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yisrael avodecho, remember Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, your servants, Asher nishbat lohem boch, that you swore them, boch in you. The Gemara, Brachas Daf Lamed Beis, says, my boch, what does it mean that Hashem swore in him? Omar Rabbi Eliezer says, Omar Moshe ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu argued in front of Hashem, Riboyne shel Olam, Creator, Ilemole nishbato lohem bashamayim v'oretz, if you'd have sworn by heaven and earth, Hoisi Oimer, I would have said, I understand, Keshem shamayim v'oretz betelim, the same way that heaven and earth are going to be annulled, Kach shviyascha tebetelo, so your swearing could be annulled. But the achshav shenishbato lohem b'shimcha gadol, but now that you swore in your name of Hashem, you say, I swear in the name of Hashem, Hashem swore in his name personally, ma shimcha gadol chai v'kayom l'olam iloel me'olamim, the same thing that your name stays for now and for all eternity, kach shvuascha kayemes l'olam iloel me'olamim. So too, your swearing that you swore in your name has to be forever, for now and for all eternity. Comes out according to this Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he argued in front of Hashem, he said, had you sworn on heaven and earth that they could be destroyed, then I understand that you could destroy the Jewish people. But now that you swore in your name, and your name can never be destroyed, because you are eternal, so too, you have to keep the Jewish people eternal, and you're not allowed to destroy them. According to this Gemara, comes out that heaven and earth could be destroyed. Then the question is, how come Moshe Rabbeinu here said, Azina Shomayim Vadabera, V'sishma Oretz Imrefi, that he brought heaven and earth to be witnesses to Jewish people because they are eternal? Heaven and earth are not eternal, because we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing against Hashem when Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and he kept using the argument that since Hashem did not use heaven and earth as a means of swearing, therefore he is not allowed to destroy the Jewish people, because heaven and earth could be destroyed, but the name of Hashem cannot be destroyed. In truth, we could interpret the Gemara there a little bit differently. We could interpret the Gemara. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu argued in front of Hashem by saying that he swore in his own name, and he did not swear in heaven and earth, that heaven and earth could be destroyed, means if Hashem wants, he could destroy heaven and earth. The same thing if you swear on, I swear on this vase that I'm going to do this, this, and this, if I want, and I want to break my promise, I could break the vase and break the promise. But that doesn't mean necessarily that I am going to break the promise. And Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing, had you sworn on heaven and earth, then it would be your discretion to destroy heaven and earth and destroy the Jewish people. But now that you swore in your name, you don't have that discretion. But that doesn't mean that you're going to break the vase. That doesn't mean that Hashem is going to destroy heaven and earth. And that could be the simple interpretation that there's no contradiction. There Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about, what Hashem could potentially have done, had he sworn heaven and earth, and now he wants to go against his promise that the Jewish people are going to be eternal, then Hashem could destroy heaven and earth. And automatically the promise that Jewish people will be eternal will also be the same thing. But now that Hashem swore on his own name, the name of Hashem is eternal, so therefore the Jewish people have to be eternal and cannot be destroyed. But in actuality, heaven and earth are eternal. And if since they are eternal, Moshe Rabbeinu could use them as a testifier or as witnesses that the Jewish people are going to keep the Torah. This would be the simple interpretation that we would have interpreted the contradiction between these two members from the Gemara and Rashi actually quoting both. But the Sefer Tosfos Bracha asks even a stronger question. He brings a pasuk in Yeshaya 66, pasuk number 22. There the pasuk is talking about when Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people, when Hashem is going to remember all the troubles that we have. There the pasuk says, "Ki hineni boire shamayim chadoshim, behold, I'm creating a new heaven, the eretz chadosha, and a new earth. V'loy tizocharno arishoinois, and you won't remember the old earth. V'loy talenu el eif, and you won't remember the old heaven and earth." That it will be a time of simcha, kim sisu v'gilu adayat, that you're going to rejoice forever, and Hashem will give us a new heaven and a new earth. Sefer Tosfos Bracha has a question. Here we see clearly that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. So obviously, if you're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, must be that the original heaven and earth is going to be stopped. Therefore, Sefer Tosfos Bracha explains that when it's meant a new heaven and a new earth, or it's meant that the earth is going to be bottled, that the earth and the heaven are going to be annulled, or going to be cancelled, means the same thing we say in our prayer in Shachris. In Shachris we say, HaMechadesh betuvoi b'chol yom tomit ma'aseh bereshit. Hashem who renews with His goodness everyday creation. Which means, yes, heaven and earth are their constant, but their job is constantly being renewed. That if Hashem would take away His Ashgacha, His constant Ashgacha, direct supervision from heaven and earth, then it would not move and nothing would be created. That a person should not think that the world runs automatically, like when you throw a raw ball and the ball automatically keeps on rolling until the strength stops, or the world is like an engine that you just turn the engine on and then the engine runs by itself and keeps moving by itself. No, the world is not like that. The world is designed that if Hashem takes away His Hashgacha, if Hashem is not fully involved in it, is not supervising it all the time, then the world will just collapse. It's considered like you're holding something and as soon as you open your hand, it will fall off. That if Hashem removes His Hashgacha from the earth would cease to exist. And that is pshat in the pasuk in Yeshaya. Hashem is saying, when I give a new chadosh, it doesn't mean a new sun and a new earth. The sun and earth are constantly going. They are constant, like Moshe Rabbeinu says here. There it means that when they come up again, and when they go again, I'm giving them extra vigor like they would be new. It's not to be interpreted literal that they're going to be new. The same thing we say in our prayer, that Hashem renews heaven and earth. And we know the heavens are the same and the earth is the same, but which means that Hashem is constantly getting involved. Hashem is putting back energy into everything, that it should continuously move. And that is considered a mechadash betuvoi, that Hashem renews everything. So too, Yeshaya means to say that Hashem will give us an earth that's going to be renewed with more vigor and more energy and more plenty. And everything is going to be better than it is now, but it's not literally a new one. But the same earth and heaven are going to be forever, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu could use them as a witness, because Kayomim Lo'ad. And if it was Hashem's choice, Hashem could always withdraw His energy and they would collapse. But as a matter of fact, they are going forever. The second interpretation of Rashi, that we're using heaven and earth not as witnesses, but something that we should learn from. The same way that heaven and earth did not sin, so too we should not sin. On that, it's a very important question, because Rashi himself, on Parshas Bereishis, chapter 1, Pasuk number 11, there Hashem asked, Eitz pri, oise pri, let the fruit tree yield fruit, and the earth only did the Eitz oise pri, that the tree gave fruit. In other words, the fruit tree did not give fruit, the tree gave fruit. Rashi is bothered by the difference in language, so Rashi explains that Hashem asked that the earth's trunk should taste like the fruit, but the earth did that only the fruit tasted like the fruit, but the trunk itself did not taste like the fruit. And Rashi says that therefore when man was cursed after he deviated what Hashem told him not to eat the fruit, therefore earth was cursed with man, Aruro Adama Bavirecho, that when Hashem cursed man for sinning, then Hashem cursed earth together for sinning. So we see clearly that Hashem told the earth to do something, and the earth did something else. And when we get to Parshas Bereishis, we give two interpretations why the earth deviated from what Hashem told her. But nonetheless, how can you use the earth as example, as something that never deviates from the word of Hashem? Rashi himself says there that the earth deviated, they did not do. Hashem asked that the trunk of the tree should taste like the fruit, and the earth did only that the trunk will give fruit, but the trunk itself doesn't taste like the fruit. And that is a question of the Divrei Yoel. Divrei Yoel has this question on Rashi. The Divrei Yoel answers that what Rashi means to say is that you should learn from the earth. The same way the earth, it sinned, but once it did tshuva, it was constant. So too we should learn that once we do tshuva, we should be constant. It's not that we should learn from the earth that never deviates. Yes, you could deviate, or you did deviate, but once you repent, never again you deviated. So too we should learn that once we repent, never we should deviate. And that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu picked specifically Hashomayim Va'aretz. Because if it is according to Rashi that we should use heaven and earth as example, why couldn't you just pick the heaven? Heaven never has sinned, and therefore we should pick the heavens to act like the heavens that never sins. Why is it required to give also the earth? But according to the Divrei Yoel, it's two examples. One example from somebody who never sins, and that is the heaven. And also example for somebody who sins, and that is the earth. And that is the example that Moshe Rabbeinu picked. He picked one example of something that never sinned, that we should be like the heaven that never sinned, and we also should be like the earth, that even though it sinned, it did tshuva, and after it did tshuva, it never deviated. And according to this, you could answer another question, because there is a very strong question on Rashi. How can you say that we should learn from heaven and earth? Technically, heaven and earth don't have any bechira, they don't have any free will. So if you don't have a free will, then you do exactly what Hashem tells you, because you have no choice. Therefore, there is no big deal that you did not deviate what Hashem told you. But had they had a free will, maybe they would have deviated from what Hashem told them. So how can Rashi say that human beings should learn from the heaven and earth the same way the heaven and earth do Hashem will? So we should do. You know why heaven and earth follow Hashem will? Because they have no challenge. They don't have an evil inclination, and they don't have a bechira, they don't have free choice. Therefore, they can't change what Hashem tells them. But since Hashem put free will on us, therefore, unfortunately, we do not always follow what Hashem tells us. But now, according to Divrei Yoel, or according to Rashi, that mentions that earth actually sinned, earth actually deviated from what Hashem told her, comes out that earth itself does have a free will. We don't understand exactly how it works, but earth itself is able to deviate from what Hashem tells. But yet, once it repented, it never again changed his ways. So too, we should learn from earth that if we deviate what Hashem tells us, we should do tshuva and never again deviate from what Hashem tells us. According to this, comes out there is two messages. The message from heaven is that we should try never to sin. The same way that heaven never sinned, so too we shouldn't sin. And if we by mistake come to a sin, then we should learn from earth that once the earth sinned, the tshuva, then he never deviated again and never sinned again. So too, we should learn that if we sin and we do tshuva, we should never fall in the mistake again and be constant and always be devoted in serving Hashem. In truth, the fact that heaven and earth could be used as witnesses or not, it's actually a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. The story of the Gemara starts in Avodah Zarah Daf Beis Amed Aleph. Rab Simloa says that in the future, Hashem will sit and will put a Sefer Torah on his lap and will say that the person who kept the Sefer Torah, the people who kept the Sefer Torah, let them come and get the reward. All the nations of the world come together and they try to say that they kept the Sefer Torah, and Hashem proves to them that they didn't keep the Torah, and they didn't even help the Jews to keep the Torah. Not only that, they prevented the Jews from keeping. And Hashem will say, let the Jewish people come, that the Jewish people kept the Torah, let them come and receive the reward. So the nations of the world will say, who will testify that the Jewish people kept the Torah? Hashem says, I will testify. The nations of the world argue, did you ever hear that a father is allowed to testify for a son? That the father is allowed to testify for his child that he kept the Torah? Hashem is considered our father, so technically Hashem cannot testify that we kept the Torah. Hashem answers, let heaven and earth testify that the Jewish people kept the Torah. The nations of the world argue, wait a minute, heaven and earth, nogu be'edosam hava. Heaven and earth are biased, because the pasuk says, im loy brisi yoimon volaylo, if not for my covenant of day and night, in other words, if not for the Torah that people are supposed to learn day and night, chukos shamayim va'oretz lo yisamti, I would not make heaven and earth. And we learn, the Gemara says, it's written, vayer vevoike yom ha-shishi. During creation, every day it's written, vayer vevoike yom echad, vayer vevoike yom sheni, vayer vevoike yom shlishi. There was night, there was day, the first day, there was night, there was day, second day, there was night, there was day, third day. And when it comes to Friday, there it says, vayer vevoike yom ha-shishi, with the famous hey in the front, the sixth day. The question the Talmud asks, why is it written the sixth day? Rish Lakish answers that the reason it's written the sixth day is to tell you that the whole condition of creation, since the sixth day creation stopped, so the whole condition of creation is, if we accept the Torah, if the Jewish people are going to accept the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan, then the world will continue. But if the Jewish people will not accept the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan, then the world will collapse. If it is so, then the Goyim argued, how can you bring heaven and earth to testify that the Jewish people kept the Torah? Heaven and earth are totally biased, because if the Jewish people would not have accepted the Torah on the sixth of Sivan, then heaven and earth would have collapsed. So they owe all their existence for the Jewish people. And they have two proofs that their existence is owed by the Jewish people. The Gemara continues and Hashem answers them, you're right, I'm not going to use heaven and earth as testimony, because in fact they are biased. I will use Nimrod, and Nimrod will prove that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah. I will use the wife of Potiphar, and she will prove that Yosef kept the Torah. I will use Nebuchadnezzar, and he will prove that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah kept the Torah. As a side note, we see at least that even if we have one person keeping the Torah in our generation, Hashem will give us reward for the older nation because of one person keeping the Torah. That even if one person keeps the Torah, we are able to get reward because of that. But nonetheless, from the Gemara you see clearly that heaven and earth are biased, and heaven and earth cannot be used as testimony for the Jewish people. So the question is, how can Moshe Rabbeinu say now, Hazinu Hashamayim Vadabeiro, V'sishma Oretzim Refi, how can he call heaven and earth to become witnesses for us? Heaven and earth are clearly biased because they owe their existence to us. Tosfos kind of asks this question of Avodah Zarah, and Tosfos explains this way. One answer, Tosfos says, that heaven and earth don't have to come testify, the fact that heaven and earth exists, that is a proof that the Jewish people kept the Torah. Because if the Jewish people would not keep the Torah, then there wouldn't be a heaven and earth. They don't have to come and testify. The fact that they are here, that itself proves that the Jewish people kept the Torah. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to use them as proof that the Jewish people kept the Torah. Second answer Tosfos brings down is that the condition was that if the Jewish people accept the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, then heaven and earth will continue to survive. But once the Jewish people accepted the Torah, then there is no going back. Now heaven and earth would be standing regardless if the Jewish people keep the Torah or not. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could use them now as a source or as witnesses that the Jewish people are keeping the Torah or not. The nations of the world, they could say that heaven and earth will lie because they will be biased, because since their survival depended on the Jewish people accepting the Torah, they will be grateful, they will lie and say the Jewish people kept the Torah, even if it's not true. But heaven and earth now are not dependent on the Jewish people anymore, because once the Jewish people said Naaseh V'Nishma, once we accept the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, on Shavuos, we accept the Torah, now there is no going back. Heaven and earth are established firmly, and even if the Jewish people don't keep the Torah, they will still be around. So they don't have any more bias. The same logic that they use, let's say you have a relative, you have a cousin, and the cousin marries a person, that person cannot testify against you, but once that marriage is stopped, then the person is allowed to testify against you, is not considered biased anymore. While he's married, he's considered biased, but once he becomes independent, he's not considered biased. The same thing here too, that up to the time when heaven and earth were dependent on the Jewish people, then they were considered biased, they couldn't testify. But once they become independent, because now they firmly stand, regardless if the Jewish people keep the Torah or not, now they could become witnesses. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu used them as witnesses. And the third answer is not in Tosfos, but nonetheless, it is a very good answer. That is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu picked heaven and earth. In other words, if I have a lawsuit against you, I could say that I want your father to be accepted to me as a witness. Even though I know your father is biased and your father wants to do what's good for you, nonetheless, being the litigant, I could say I accept your father as a witness on your behalf, since I'm the one who is making the condition, I'm the one who is involved in the agreement, I am entitled to choose whoever I want, and I could say anybody who is accepted to me as a witness, even though they may have a bias. You as a defendant, you are entitled not to accept somebody as I accept, as because you could say he's biased. But me as a litigant, I'm entitled to say whoever I want to be a witness. I'm entitled to choose whoever I want to be a witness. So according to this, since Moshe Rabbeinu knew that heaven and earth are biased, and Moshe Rabbeinu loves us very much, so Moshe Rabbeinu specifically chose heaven and earth to be a witness because they are biased. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tilt in our favor. Therefore, he says, you know who is going to be a witness? Those two who love you, who are dependent on you, who owe you a great debt of gratitude for accepting the Torah, they are going to be your witnesses. Because Moshe Rabbeinu loves us, he chose specifically heaven and earth, which are biased, which they are going to turn over backwards to testify for us. Meforshim argue, who are we talking about when we're talking about Hazinu Hashomayim, give ear Hashomayim, the heavens, Vadaberu, now will speak, Vesishma Oretz, and let the earth hear Imrefi, the words of my mouth. The Meforshim argue, who is Hashomayim? Devin Ezra explains that Hashomayim means the angels, Hamalachim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to angels and saying, Hazinu Hashomayim, hear my words, and also Vesishma Oretz, residers of the earth, which is men, men that live on the earth, they should hear also what he has to say. So Moshe Rabbeinu was communicating with the heavens and speaking to the angels in heaven and speaking to the man on earth, whatever he's going to say in this Shira, that's what he was talking about to both of them. My wife, may she live in good health and always be at my side, performing always mitzvahs and enhancing my life. She gave interpretation that we know there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara argues, how is Hashem going to judge the soul in the world to come? The Gemara gives an example of a king that had a prized garden and he didn't trust anybody to watch over his garden, because the garden had very beautiful fruits and he was afraid that people would be tempted to get it. So the king devised an ingenious plan. He decided to put a person that cannot see in the garden, and he decided to put a person that cannot walk in the garden, a person without legs and a person without eyes. And he figured like that the garden will be protected. Two people will be there. One person cannot see, the other person cannot walk, and automatically the garden will be protected. After a little while, the person without legs tells the person that can't see, you know, I see in this garden beautiful fruits, but I can't get to it. The person without eyes says, okay, I agree, but I cannot see the fruits. They come to agreement. The person without legs says, why don't you pick me up and I will go get the fruits, and like that I will share the fruits. That since you can't see and I cannot walk, I will ride on top of you, you will walk, I will see, and like that we will share the fruits. So what happens? The king comes back and sees all the fruits on his garden are eaten, and he gets upset. He goes to the person who is blind. He says, did you eat the tree? He says, how can I eat the tree? I can't see anything. You go to the person who has no legs. Did you eat from the tree? He says, how can I get to the tree? The tree is too high. I'm not able to get to the tree. I can't even walk, let alone get to the tree. What does the king do? He takes one and puts on top of the other. And that's the way he punishes them. So too, when we come to the world to come, Hashem is going to want to judge us. The soul is going to say, I didn't do this action. Only the physical did this action. And I'll give you a proof. Because if you don't give me the physical, I couldn't do any actions at all. And the physical is going to say, I didn't do this action. The soul must have done this action. And I'll give you a proof. Because if you take out the soul, the physical can do any action. So what does Hashem do? Hashem does exactly like the king. He takes the soul, puts it into the goof, into the physical, into his body, and like that he judges the soul and physical together. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu here is addressing each part of these two equations. It's the soul, he says, Hazinu HaShomayim, which the soul, since it's spiritual, it's considered like it came to heaven. So Hazinu HaShomayim Vadabero, listen to heaven and I will speak. Also, you could explain like Das Akenim Bala Toisvas explains, since Moshe Rabbeinu is closer to a soul, so therefore he says Hazinu, give ear, because he's closest to the soul. And therefore he speaks Vadabero, he could even speak harshly, because to a soul you could speak harshly. They won't turn and go against you. To people that are on a lofty level, you could speak harshly because they won't turn against you. Daber is a harsher language. But the Sishma Oretz, the earth, which is the physicality, since Moshe Rabbeinu was very far from physicality, so the Sishma Oretz, the Imre Fi, and let the earth listen, Imre, the soft voices of my mouth. Because when somebody is far away, if you speak too harshly, then he will rebel. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the physicality, he's speaking a nice language, which doesn't say Dabeira, which is considered a harsh language. He says, Imrefi, the soft voices of my mouth. And according to this, HaShomayim means the spiritual, and Ares means the physical. And Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing both sides of a person to let them know, make sure you keep the Torah, and like that you'll be able to survive. After I heard from my wife this pshat, I actually saw it inside in the Orachaim, almost identical as that. The Balaturim explains Hazinu Hashomaim Va'adabeiro, that numerical value of the word Hashomaim Va'adabeiro is 613. The He is 5, the Shin is 300, that's 305. The Mem is 40, so that's 345. The Yud is 10, that's 355. The other Mem is 40, so that's 395. The Vav is 6, that's 401. The Aleph is 1, that's 402. The Dalet is 4, that's 406. The base is 2, that's 408. The Reish is 200, that's 608. And the Hay is 5, that's 613. So he says, Hazinu Hashomayim Vadabeiro, if you listen to the numerical value of Hashomayim, heavens, and I will speak. In other words, you listen to the 630 mitzvahs, then Vesishma Oretz Imrefi, then the earth will listen to me, and the earth will give forth its fruit. In other words, if you listen to the Tariyag mitzvahs, the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah, then the earth will listen to it, what's supposed to, and then you will be equivalent as being in heaven. By you keeping 630 mitzvahs, it's equivalent to Hashomayim, like you are in heaven, and when you're speaking directly from heaven. The Kleoker explains that since here is a continuation of last week's Parsha, where last week's Parsha Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the Jewish people, and when you gather all the Jewish people, automatically you're going to get lofty people, and you're going to get people that aren't in such a high level. And that's why he explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hazinu Hashomayim Vadabeiro, he was speaking to the lofty level people. Lofty level people which are the same level as his. So therefore he could say, like I mentioned before, Adabeiro, a harsh language. Because when you speak to lofty people, you don't have to be afraid that your Musar, that your rebuke is going to cause them to rebel. But when you speak to the low level people, people that are far or they are not so close to Hashem, then if you give them rebuke, you gotta give them besishma or it's imrefi, you gotta give it in a softer tone, because since when you speak harshly to them, they will rebel, therefore you're required to give them in a softer voice. The Dazaken in Baal Tosfos explains, like the same idea that the Evan Ezra, that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the people in heaven, to the heavenly bodies. Therefore he says, Hazinu Hashomayim Vadabeiro, Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven, and therefore he says, Hazinu Hashomayim Vadabeiro, listen, which means give air, which means you're close to the air, listen, heaven, and I will speak. But Vesishma, since Moshe Rabbeinu was far away from the earth, therefore he says, Vesishma, or as that the earth here, Imrefi, the words of my mouth. Which when you're far away, then Vesishma, you use the word Vesishma and listen. The Dazakenim says that if you take a look in Yeshaya, Yeshaya said exactly the opposite. He said, Shimu Shomayim Vahazin Yoretz, listen heavens and give ear earth, Kipi Hashem Diber, that Hashem is speaking. So Dazakenim explains that since Yeshaya was closer to earth than to heaven, therefore he says here, Hazin Yoretz, and he says to the heaven, Shimi Shomayim, give air earth, because he's closer to the earth, and Shimi Shomayim, and listen, hear my voice from far, heaven. But Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven, therefore he says, give air heaven, and listen to earth. The Or HaChaim says that even though all the previous rabbis, the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos and the Targum Yonison Ben Uziel and all the Meforshim explain it this way, even the Medrash brings on this way, but a person is entitled to interpret any way he wants, as long as it doesn't conflict to Halacha. He says that in Agada, a person is allowed to do anything he wants, as long as it doesn't conflict to Halacha. Therefore, he's going to say exactly the opposite. He's going to say that Hazini is when somebody has to bring close the air. When he can't hear normally, he has to bring close the air. So that is something very far. And the Shishma is something very close. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was far from heaven. He said, Hazinu Hashomayim, least bring air heaven, because I'm here in the earth. Vesishma Oretz, but the earth is close to me, so she could hear automatically. She doesn't have to bring the air down, Because she could hear automatically. And why? Because Imrefi, because I am speaking and I am here on earth. But Yeshaya reversed the order. Yeshaya says, Shimi Shomayim, hear heaven. Because Yeshaya, the end of the pasuk says, Ki pi Hashem diber, because Hashem is speaking. If Hashem is speaking, then it's easier to hear in heaven than on earth. So therefore he says, Shimi Shomayim, the heaven just has to listen, doesn't have to give ear, because it's right there. But Vahazini Oretz, but the earth has to tilt the ear to Hashem. Why? Ki pi Hashem diber. According to the Orachaim, it is not important about the level of the person who is speaking. That's not what depends if it's shimi, if it's listen or hear. According to Rachaim, it will depend where the statement is about. If it's Moshe Rabbeinu's statement, since Moshe Rabbeinu resides in earth, therefore he has to say it for the heavens to give air, because the heavens are far away, they have to tilt the air to listen, but the earth could listen automatically, therefore v'sishma oretz, because it's Imrefi, it's the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Yeshaya was speaking Ki pi Hashem diber, he was speaking about the words of Hashem, and we know the Gemara brings down from the Pasuk HaShomayim Kisi V'Horetz Adom Raglov, that the throne of Hashem is in heaven and in the earth is just a footstool. So comes out, if Hashem is speaking, Hashem is closest to heaven. Therefore he says, Shimi Shomayim, let the heaven listen first, because they are closest and they are easy to listen. Then V'Hazini Oretz, and that the earth till the air up, Ki pi Hashem diber, because Hashem is speaking and Hashem is closer to heaven than to earth. Hashem Yisbarach should help that the prophecies of Hazinu HaShomayim should come true and should all listen to the words of Hashem. And since we are already in the Ikves of Mashiach, already in the hill, the tail end close to Mashiach, Hashem Yisbarach should help that Mashiach should come. Bimhera b'yameinu. Amen.